You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Let's pray and let's hop into this new series this morning. Well, Father, I thank you for every person that is listening to this broadcast. I thank you that this is a divine appointment, that you have led them here because you are doing something extraordinary in their lives, and you want to remind them of the truth today. Father, I thank you that we are citizens of heaven. I thank you that we are seated right now in heavenly places inside of Christ, at the place of honor and all authority and dominion at your right hand. And I thank you, Father, that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, and we know the hope of that calling, and we are aware of heavenly realities, Father. In fact, we can see what you are doing. We can see what's going on in heaven right now. And so, Father, I just pray as we dive into this series that heaven's reality would become more real than earth's reality for every single person, Father. I pray that this series would catapult them into supernatural living, where they would do the same works that Jesus did and even greater works than Jesus did, because they were doing them the same way that Jesus did, through union with you. I thank you, Father, that we are coming into a level of greater dependency upon you, where you are our source, our only source, Father, for everything that pertains to life and godliness. I just declare that your kingdom is coming, your will is being done on earth as in heaven, in a greater measure, Father, as a result of this podcast. So I just yield my body, I yield my mind, I yield my thoughts. Father, I just say, speak through me, Holy Spirit, anoint the words that are coming out of my mouth, release an impartation of revelation and truth. And I just declare that signs and wonders are following this broadcast, following each and every one of these of your kids as we step into this reality of your kingdom. And I just declare all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, awesome, you guys. I am excited to be starting this new series this week called Going All In. And we are really going to be talking about, in the next several, episodes as we step into this topic, about the power of Matthew 6:33, about the power of seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, and how when we put the priority of the kingdom as first priority in our lives, that life is by design, by promise of Jesus Christ, designed to supernaturally work out. So let's begin the series by jumping into Matthew 6:33 in a couple of different translations. Okay, this is a really powerful concept, and I wrote it down here in a bunch of different translations, but I'm actually just going to read a little bit in context this morning. So let me pull up my Bible and back up here for a moment. Okay, in Matthew 6, we are going to start reading. I'm going to start in verse 25, and I'm reading in the Passion Translation this morning. It says, this is why, and this is Jesus talking, it's in red, if you can see it, for those of you that are watching. It says, this is why I tell you to never be worried about your life. For all that you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything your body needs. Isn't there more to your life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing? Consider the birds. Do you think they worry about their existence? They don't plant or reap or store up food. Yet your heavenly Father provides them each with food. Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than they? So which one of you, by worrying, could add anything to your life? And why would you worry about your clothing? Look at all of the beautiful flowers of the field. They don't work or toil, and yet not even Solomon in all of his splendor was robed in beauty like one of these. So if God has clothed the meadow with hay, which is here for such a short time and then dried up and burned, won't he provide for you the clothes you need, O you of little faith? So then forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For that is what unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your heavenly Father already know the things your bodies require? So above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. And then these less important things will be given to you. And then verse 34, it says, refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. So let me read Matthew 6:33 now from a couple of other translations. I want to read it from the Message translation. I really, really like this translation. It says, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, and God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find your everyday human concerns will be met. Let me read that again. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find your everyday human concerns will be met. Okay. So that one is really, I feel like, one of the inspirations for what I want to dive into over the course of this series. And I think, you know, if you're a note taker, this is a time for you to, you know, get out your pen, get out your journal, whatever, and take some notes. If you're driving, obviously, don't do that. But here's what it says. God reality. Okay. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then I love the Message translation's definition of that. God's reality, God's initiative, and God's provisions. Okay, so I think that is a beautiful definition of the kingdom of God. I have another one that I think is even more powerful that I wrote down here. And this one says, the kingdom of God is an energetic realm of possibility that includes God's reign over all creation. Now, I love that because we will be talking some about quantum physics and how that relates to the kingdom of God over the next episodes. But I really love the fact that it states here that it is a realm of possibility. See, in the kingdom, all things are possible. And the kingdom is an alternative reality to the world system. So we have two systems here. We have the world system and we have the kingdom system, or we have God's system. We have two realities, not just systems, but realities. And because you have been grafted into Christ, you are one with Jesus. You know, the scriptures tell us that you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, which is another word for the world system or the world's, the reality of the sense realm of a just pure natural sensual way of living, that you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and you are now a citizen. You've been translated, placed in the kingdom of God's dear son. Now, the kingdom of God, if we are going to seek this, we're going to talk about that. What does it mean to seek? Okay, it means to become aware of, to make being aware of God's reality, God's initiative, God's provisions, the reality of the reign and the rule of God over all of creation, over the new creation, your top priority. That as we are translated into this kingdom, now we are to live in this kingdom. And by the way, you were placed in that kingdom by grace, right? By grace through faith, were you saved? Were you sozoed is another way of saying that, right? The word sozo is the Greek word that was translated saved, which means perfect well-being. It means delivered. It means freedom. It means wholeness. It means prosperity. And it was by grace through faith that you were placed into this kingdom of sozo, this kingdom of heaven where everything that heaven contains exists. It is an invisible dimension, but it is absolutely real. In fact, in Jesus's ministry, he came announcing that the kingdom of God had arrived. Okay, let's go over to Mark chapter 1, and we'll look at this. It says this. Hold on, let me just find this. It says this. I'm in the Passion Translation, but in Mark 1:15 in the Passion Translation. Okay, this is right after Jesus. It says, let's see, first it talks about his baptism and that stuff, but then it goes in verse 15, his message was this: at last, the fulfillment of the age has come. It is time for God's kingdom to be experienced in its fullness. Turn your lives back to God and put your trust in the hope-filled gospel. Now, that's a beautiful translation of that scripture, but let me just go over to the New King James Version because you might be more familiar with that. But in verse 15, it says this. It says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Okay, so the gospel, the good news, is that the kingdom of God has arrived. It is here. It is now. And Jesus, everywhere he went, he preached the kingdom of God. And then he demonstrated the reality of the kingdom with what we call signs and wonders, what we call miracles. You know, when he sent out the 12 and then he sent out the 70, he said, as you go preach, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has arrived. And then he said, cleanse the leper, heal the sick, raise the dead. Freely you have received, now freely give. And so this reality of the kingdom is a free gift that we have received, not by any righteousness of our own, not by any performance of any rule or any performance of doing good acts and doing good deeds. No, this is a free kingdom. It is a reality that we now are seeped in. And because it is invisible, many times we are not as conscious and aware of the kingdom as we should be or as we need to be, because the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of darkness, which exists in this material realm, seems more tangible. It seems more real than the kingdom of God. Okay, I wrote down something else I wanted to share here. Let me see if I can find it in my notes. It's just the scripture where the kingdom of God resides. The kingdom of God resides where? Inside of us. Okay, the kingdom of God is within you. That's what Luke 17:21 says. So guess what? Wherever you go, the kingdom is there. Okay, so when it says seek first the kingdom, it's not talking about we have to go somewhere externally to try to find God's reality. No, we live and move and have our being inside of God. So this is a complete shift of where we live, where we move, and where we have our being. And so this reality that is God's kingdom, first and foremost, needs to have our immediate attention. It should be the thing that we are thinking about and meditating on all the time. In Colossians chapter 3, it says it this way. Let's go over there. In Colossians chapter 3, I am going to read that in the Passion Translation because it's just so powerful. It says this in verse 1, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Now, I just want us to stop here for a moment, because many of us relate to our human bodies as fallen, as subject to decay, as subject to sickness, as subject to decay. But here's the truth. Jesus's resurrection is your resurrection too. And what that means is that although you have a part of you that is material and seems to be subject to these things, the truth is that the Holy Spirit is quickening your mortal body with the life of God. And when Jesus came up out of the grave, you came up out of the grave. You died, you were buried, you rose with him, and you ascended with him. Now, this is a mystery in a sense, because our natural minds are like blown when we stop and think about this. You know, we were not alive when Jesus was crucified. So we think, well, how in the world could I be crucified when I wasn't even born yet? And then we think, well, how could I be buried, or how could I be resurrected, or any of these realities when we didn't exist in the physical realm 2,000 years ago? But the gospel is a timeless message. It requires us to get out of the material realm completely, to get out of the realm of the dominion of time, of the dominion of the 3D dimensional world, and step into a dimension that has existed before time began. Because we were actually not only crucified in Christ 2,000 years ago, but Revelation tells us that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And Ephesians chapter 1, it says that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. So technically, okay, we were crucified with Christ before the foundation of the world. So when scriptures talk about Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too, okay, we need to recognize that this is a timeless, eternal truth. And the more that we connect with timeless, eternal truth, such as being a resurrected human being already, or the kingdom of God being a right now reality, well, the more that we connect with those things, the more that we experience those things, the more that we are aware and conscious of God's reality, which is the completed work of Jesus Christ that has always been completed, the more that we experience and transcend natural living. Okay, so when I'm talking about going all in, I'm talking about going all in to the reality of God's kingdom. I'm talking about leaving the world systems behind. I'm talking about stepping into a timeless, eternal identity of a co-crucified, co-buried, co-resurrected, and co-ascended Jesus to such a degree that we are dominating the world system. And we are taking authority over the natural realm and releasing the reality of heaven every single day in our lives, every single place that we go. It means that we are now governing with God in union with Jesus, governing the seen realm with words, recognizing that words are creative, that words release life, that words release death, that words are the primary currency of the kingdom. They are pretty much how Jesus was releasing the kingdom everywhere he went, whether he was speaking to a storm, whether he was cursing a fig tree, whether he was rebuking the fever in Peter's mother-in-law, whether he was just, you know, telling Peter to let down his nets for a great catch, or he was calling Peter to walk with him on the water. There are words that Jesus was speaking. And he said this, he said, "My words are not my own." His reality, Jesus had his reality steeped in the kingdom of God, in his union with the Father. And he is, and his earthly ministry is the example of what it means to live in union with the Father. He said, "I only do what I see the Father doing." He said, "Of my own self," he said in John 5:30, "I can do nothing. Of my own self," Jesus Christ, the incarnate word of God, the Son of God, said that he must rely completely on the Father and the Holy Spirit and the reality of this kingdom. He just was a master at abiding in the Father. He was a master of taking dominion over natural circumstances. He was not moved by the opinions of men. He was on the Father's agenda. And yes, without a doubt, we know that he was seeking first the kingdom of God, and he was all in. And so I'm going to go back to Colossians 3 here for a moment, because if we're going to steep ourselves in God's reality and be aware of God's kingdom, we must renew our minds to this reality. We must wake up every single day and recognize that we are not subject to the world system. We are not subject to the laws and the dictates of the flesh, of the law. right? The law of sin and death has been abolished in our life. The law of decay, the law of sickness, the law of performance has been totally eradicated in our lives. And so here's what the Apostle Paul is saying in this verse. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Now, in Ephesians 2, when it says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ, well, guess what? That's where Christ is enthroned in the place of all power, honor, and authority is exactly where you are enthroned in him. It says, verse 2, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Man, that is a powerful scripture that we are to feast. We are to gorge ourselves. We are to pig out on heavenly realities. You know, Jesus said over and over again, I have meat that you don't know of. I have drink that you don't know of. And I believe that Jesus was walking in the reality of the kingdom of heaven with enlightened eyes and activated spiritual senses. The way that Adam and Eve existed before the fall, he was just doing this with, you know, a spiritual senses activated so that he was not being led by the physical senses, but by the reality of heaven. And so we can too do the same things that Jesus did, the same way that he did them. But it is going to require that we have a new level of perception. We have to perceive God's reality, and we need to focus on spiritual realities rather than the distractions of the natural realm. Now, I get it. Distractions in the natural realm can be very, very loud, okay? You know what? Symptoms in your body are very, very loud. Pain is painful. I'm not, you know, trying to discount the reality of the things that are happening in the natural realm. What I am suggesting, though, is that we are denying the authority of those things to exalt themselves as a greater reality than the kingdom of God. And we know this, you guys. We walk around, you know, in the flesh, but yet the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly weapons. They are not carnal. They are not of human origin. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual weapons. They're spiritual eyesight. They're spiritual discernment. It's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not not just in word. It comes with power. It is the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost that as we tune into these realities and we set our minds on things above and we feast on the realities of heaven, we begin to experience the reality of heaven. What we focus on manifests. It says here, verse 3, your crucifixion with Christ has severed your tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. So this is new creation living, you guys. This is kingdom living. This is heaven's reality right now. And, you know, leaving the realm of the senses, leaving the realm of the world system. See, in the world system, you work for a living, okay? In the world system, you exchange time for money, okay? But in the kingdom, you are an heir. You are a joint heir with Jesus, and you are already rich, okay? Jesus, you know, there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians that says, though he was rich, he became poor, that through his poverty, we might be made rich. Okay, let me just go there just so I can give you the reference because it's worth meditating on. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians. Let me just double check. 2 Corinthians 8:9 is what I believe it is. So let me just go there. 2 Corinthians 8:9. And this is the Passion Translation. For you have experienced the extravagant grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was infinitely rich, he impoverished himself for our sake, so that by his poverty, we might become rich beyond measure. Okay, so in the kingdom of God, we are already rich beyond measure. In God, in Christ, what belongs to him belongs to you. Hebrews 1, like verse 3 says that he's the lawful owner of all things in the Amplified Version. Jesus is the heir of all creation. And guess what? So are we. We are one with him. And so this exchange of poverty, the poverty that exists in the world system for the riches in the kingdom of God, that's where we've been translated out of the kingdom of poverty into the kingdom of infinite riches. See, this language is all throughout this substitution language is all throughout scripture. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this. It says, "For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God through our union with him." So this is in the Passion Translation, but this is explaining how Jesus took our poverty and then we took his riches. Well, guess what? He took our sin and we became righteous. So that's why the kingdom of God is a place of righteousness, peace, and joy. Why? Because everything has already been provided. Okay, let's talk about death itself in Hebrews 2. This is talking about how Jesus actually also took our death. Okay, it says this, "Insomuch," verse 14, "as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death," that is the devil, "and release those through whom fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So here we have this great exchange that he died, it is appointed once for men to die, and Jesus's death became our death. And so in the kingdom of God, it is a place where dominion over death reigns. That's why Jesus said, "Preach the kingdom and raise the dead." Death does not have dominion in the kingdom. And so what I'm sharing and why I'm sharing all of this today is because over the next several episodes, we are going to get ourselves fully over in the kingdom of God. Okay, so many times we've got one foot in the world and we've got one foot in the kingdom, right? We say that we're in Christ. We believe, to a certain degree that the gospel is true. But where the rubber meets the road, we're still terrified of death. We are still experiencing the curse in our life. And we are not yet mastering kingdom life. And the truth is that when we make the kingdom and the revelation of the kingdom and we feast on kingdom realities and we feast on the truth, well, guess what? We begin to live in that truth. It becomes the truth that sets us free from the world system. And I can tell you that the Holy Spirit is working in your life to bring you out of the world system and onto the kingdom system, not only in an invisible reality, but in a manifested reality. In fact, the Exodus is a great picture of that, where God led the Israelites out of Pharaoh's system of slavery into the promised land. And he brought them out with signs and wonders. And let me tell you what, it was a power confrontation. And that is what it takes to get completely out of the world system. See, the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force, meaning it is a clash of systems. It is a power struggle. It is a war between two kingdoms when we are coming out. And really this war happens right here between our ears. See, when the Israelites came out, hey, my goodness, they spent that time wandering around in the wilderness. It was a 11-day journey. But many of them died in the wilderness and wandering around for 40 years. Why? Because the world system, Pharaoh's system, the system of slavery, the slavery thinking was how they, was what they experienced. It's how they thought. And it limited them from being able to trust God and being able, for them being able to possess the land. You know, when Moses sent the spies out and the in Numbers 13 and they came back, you know, there was only 2 out of 12 that even though the land was flowing with milk and honey, and even though it was exactly as God described, they were only 2 of them that said, let's go up at once. We are well able to possess it. No, there were the majority of those spies, 10 out of the 12 said, no, there are giants in the land. What we see is too powerful for us. They are mightier than we are. We are grasshoppers. We are powerless. And they are going to eat us alive. And many times, you guys, we avoid those confrontations with the, you know, with the giants that are sitting on our inheritance. They are the things that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. And we are not coming at them in the power of the kingdom, in the power of our union with Jesus, in the power of the truth. And we are tolerating things that are illegal in heaven in our lives. And so we have, you know, we say, yes, we're citizens of heaven, but we are still depending on the world to meet our needs. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 6, right? That this, all of these things is what the Gentiles seek after. They are in a system of toil. They are living paycheck to paycheck instead of promise to promise, instead of glory to glory. They aren't seeing the miraculous provisions of God because they're too steeped in slavery thinking. They don't recognize that they're already rich. They don't recognize that they're already healed, and they are not enforcing the kingdom of heaven in our lives, in their lives. And so God's reality, steeping ourselves in God's reality, is a very, very powerful and necessary requirement if we are going to experience the fullness of all that God is. Meaning we have to, every single day, get ourselves out of the realm of the flesh, right? The realm of the flesh, the realm of bills, the realm of symptoms, the realm of strife, the realm of impossible things is loud in our lives. But seeking first the kingdom means that the number one priority of our lives is this awareness of the truth. It's this awareness of the power of God that dwells in us, that the same very spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is dwelling in us. You know, recently I've been going through some different contradictions in my own life. And I'll tell you what, I'm spending more time in meditation, more time in the word, more time totally inundating my mind and my emotions with the truth. Because I heard Bill Johnson say one time, you know, you can't afford to have any thought in your head that's not God. And I was just about to say that, because why? The only thing that I can't afford is earthly, sense-driven thinking. You know, yesterday I actually, you know, when the pressure's intense, I mean, it is scriptural to take a nap, you know, and I just laid down for a few minutes yesterday because Jesus slept in the storm. And I just, you know what I did? I meditated my union with Jesus while he was in the boat. I literally put myself in my mind, in my imagination, in the boat, and I was hiding, because my life is hidden in Christ. I was hiding in Jesus while he was taking this nap. And it was really a powerful experience. I don't even know that I actually went to sleep. It was more like a trance-like state. But as I sat there in the boat with Jesus, you know, it's like I could hear the disciples freaking out. I could hear the storm and I could hear the waves and I could hear everything that was going on, but I could also sense the peace. And I'm closing my eyes because I'm going right back there. I could sense the peace of Jesus in that moment. Why? Because Jesus knew where he was from and he knew where he was going and he knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew he had the peace of God inside of him, that the kingdom was here. And so he was able to not be affected by the storm that was, you know, a dangerous, life-threatening storm that was going on around him. He was aware of God's reality. And so when he stood up and he spoke peace to that storm, what came out of him was God's word, God's power, the peace of God that stills storms. Whoa, that totally controls the weather. That's what came out of him because he had steeped his life in God's initiative and God's reality. And when Jesus is seen, as it says in Colossians 3, for who he really is, who you are will also be revealed. And see, that's what Jesus was teaching his disciples for the 3 years in his earthly ministry. He was showing them, this is who I am. But this is not just who I am. This is who you are. You are sons of God. You are about to take over this mission, take over the expansion of my kingdom. You are about to preach this good news, this gospel of the kingdom to the uttermost parts of the earth, to every creature. You are going to live in a new reality, in a new creation where old things have passed away. All of the old has passed away and everything has become new. And you are going to live a co-crucified life with me. You are going to live a co-resurrected life with me. And signs and wonders are going to confirm the message that you are declaring because it is the truth. And I will be working with you. I will be confirming this message with signs and wonders following. And so all of that to say that as I just entered into Christ in that example of sleeping in the boat, like, see, that is such a better mindset than worry, okay? That is, it's like, no. I am hidden in Christ, whoa. And I am meditating in Christ, and the power of God is within me right now. And I am hiding in him because that's where my true life is found. That's where the kingdom is found. And that, you guys, is an example of seeking first the kingdom. I mean, all I did was just begin to meditate and ruminate and become conscious of my union with Jesus and kingdom provision and peace and joy and the reality of the power of God that is within me. Whoa. And guess what? From that place, now I can move into God's initiative, which is that second part of that scripture, right? Steep your life in God realities, God initiatives, and God provisions. Okay, I really believe this is a very powerful kind of like evolution of what happens, that as we steep ourselves in God's reality, well, then we become aware of God's initiative. In other words, we become aware of God's agenda in whatever situation we face. And as we work with God's agenda and we speak God's agenda and we step into the initiative of God that he is wanting to accomplish through us, well, then guess what? The God provisions show up. So next week, we're going to step into that section, right? Today, I wanted to focus in on the reality of the kingdom of God and the importance of us steeping ourselves, steeping our lives, steeping our consciousness, steeping our awareness, staying awake to the reality of the kingdom where there is no poverty, there is no sickness, there is no death, where all things are finished, where all things belong to us, and that is where we live and move and have our being. It is inside of us. We cannot escape it. We can become unaware of it. We can, you know, perish for a lack of knowledge of it, but it doesn't change the fact that it is still in us, that the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead is dwelling in us. But the disconnection is right here. That's why the Apostle Paul said to, you know, that the tie, do not be distracted by the natural realm, that our ties to this life have been severed. Like we have been, our ties to the world system have been severed but they need to be severed in our minds and in our consciousness and in our awareness. And we need to make the reality of the kingdom more real than the circumstances in the world. Because in the world, we'll have trouble, but we can be of good cheer. Why? Because Jesus has overcome the world. We have not been given the spirit of this world system, but the power of God, the power of sonship. And beloved, the Holy Spirit is in the business of causing us to live independent from the world system and have dominion over it. He is in the business of causing us to, in our own exodus, in our own mind, to come out of the slave system where we are in bondage to the fear of death and the fear of lack and the fear of cancer and the fear of divorce and the fear of rejection and the fear, fear driven, controlled by strongholds and programming that we've inherited and that we have been programmed with in our life. No, God is bringing us out. And he is bringing us into the fullness. I mean, because we're already there. When I say he's bringing us out, it's literally this awakening. It's literally this revelation. It's not a move of the Holy Spirit, except to get the truth to be more real to us than the reality of the seen realm and the circumstances and the voice of doubt and fear and all of these things that attempt to try to exalt themselves, thank you, Lord, over the knowledge of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So as we hop into this series, I'm going to be sharing testimonies about how I have totally left it all to follow Jesus. Whoa. And how that is where the supernatural begins. Like one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom is, it's a double-minded man and we're unstable in all of our ways. But when God is your source and your only source and you are in this place of stepping into the full inheritance that God has for you, into the promised land, into the destiny that God has for you, it requires the supernatural. And the supernatural becomes a way of life that as we seek and we step into God's reality and we step into his initiative of what he wants to accomplish through us and through our lives, well, guess what? We begin to experience God's provisions. But as long as we are seeking after provisions, seeking after things, we can live in the world system or we can live in the kingdom, but they are mutually exclusive realities. And the kingdom of God is the most powerful reality that has ever existed. And God has created the universe and Christ in us and Christ in all things is this kingdom reality that reigns over all. So you guys, I'm super excited for this series. I really believe that it's going to help you not just wake up and stay awake and make the kingdom reality a priority, but I believe that you're going to begin to step into some really powerful things that are going to cause you to confront the giants in your life, whatever those giants are, whether that is poverty, whether that is a lack of some kind, whether that is sickness and disease, whether whatever is illegal in heaven, whatever giant is trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, I believe that you are going to confront that giant and you're going to cut the head off of that thing. And you are going to speak in the name of Jesus and the words of God are going to be what you're speaking, that they will no longer be your words, but they will be words that are spirit and are life. They will be the words of Jesus Christ coming out of your mouth and all of creation will respond and you will see victory after victory after victory because you are more powerful than you've imagined. You are more strong than you've imagined. You are not a mere human being. You are not just flesh and blood. No, you are a divine son, a divine daughter. You are the bride of Christ. You are royal by birth and you are royal by marriage. You are an inheritor of the fullness of the Godhead and all that the kingdom contains. And beloved, words govern the earth. So until next time, you guys, speak words of life. Speak what your daddy is speaking. Speak the promises of God. Speak the truth about the situation and expect creation to respond because the kingdom of God comes with power. So God bless you guys. Make it a supernatural week and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.